we talked about this idea of branch being, branch life is an abiding life. Abiding life. That idea of abiding was to remain, to continue with Jesus. So we're abiding in Jesus. We're continuing with Jesus. It was the operative word in this passage in John 15 is this word abide. So if you have a Bible or you got your electronic Bible, whatever, you can turn to John chapter 15. That's where we'll continue today with what Jesus is continuing to talk about with the disciples. Now, we talked about maybe every week trying to memorize a verse. How many of you tried to memorize a verse? I got my hand up. I tried. Not sure I got it, but this verse on the screen, I am the vine, you are the branches, verse 5 of chapter 15. That's a pretty significant statement Jesus makes there. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. I love that, don't you? He bears much fruit. Don't you want your life to count? You know, don't you want to make a difference in the world? Don't you want to have results that even last and blow, you know, help people? That's what Jesus wants for us as well. He says, and so he's, if you abide in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, this is the hard part of the verse. For apart from me, he can do nothing. So as a branch, we need Jesus, right? As the body, in another image that's used, Jesus used, he's the head. We need the head. Our bodies need the head. So this is very, very important that Jesus is trying to get across. We've entitled ourselves as a church, the branch, right out of this passage here in John 15. And so in these previous services, I just want to talk a little bit about some of these values that we have, this abiding value. I'd like us to read from verse 9 through 17 and just follow along or just hear the word as I share it from, this is the New American Standard. Just as, Jesus is saying, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. And so if you were to think about Jesus and have to describe Jesus with one word to somebody in your work environment, perhaps there's somebody at your school. Maybe it's a person that you socialize with on occasion. Maybe it's just the neighbor over the fence, the High Wilson thing. What would that word be? Think about it. Throw out some words for me today. What would a word be to describe Jesus? Love is a good word. Obviously, you could say Savior too, right? I mean, there's a lot of words that could describe Jesus. There's no right or wrong on it. But love could be a word that could describe Jesus Christ, could it not? It really could. I want to focus on that idea of love because I believe that the life source, the energy, the primary fruit that the Holy Spirit is trying to produce through us that is also from God that came through Jesus Christ is this idea of love. It is the first of the fruit of the Spirit, right, that's operating in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. This idea of love, it's the greatest, Paul the Apostle would say. So let's just focus on that. Jesus does. Interestingly, here's the night before he's going to be betrayed later that night. And he's giving some final thoughts, final words. And he focuses on this abiding. Abide, guys. They were pretty upset and troubled in John 14 as it's described there. And so he says, abide in me. And then he says, you love one another just as I have loved you. There's something significant about what he's trying to tell his disciples here. And we can overhear that today. And we can take that, into our own hearts as well and, operate by this idea of loving one another. And he says it twice. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And in verse 17, this I command you, that you love one another. Kind of end bookends to this particular passage. So we've been asking, like last week, why and how. Let's ask why. Why love one another? Let's make sure we get this down. We're sure we're sold on this idea of loving one another. It's pretty important to Jesus that we would do this. Why love one another? Four quick reasons. Verses 9 and 10 again says, my Father is glorified by this that you, 9 says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Here's the first reason. Jesus commanded it. Jesus commanded that we would love. Is that enough? To want to love? To want to do what he would say? Follow the command of Jesus? That, I think, is enough. It's just by obeying that command, we're going to abide and remain in his love. Jesus modeled it even with the Father. He had to obey the Father. He's asking us to obey him in this command to love one another. It's been said that love's a decision. It's just simply an act of the will. It doesn't necessarily have to be driven by a feeling or an emotion. It's nice when it is, though. It's nice when we want to love one another. But what if we don't want to? Are we still supposed to? Is it still an obedience to Jesus that we would? Yes, we would want to still love one another. It's not always that emotion. And so that's the first reason. Jesus commanded it. Right here is the first thing he said to the guys about love is this is a command that I have for you, that you love one another. And then look what he says in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So a second reason was because Jesus' blessing of joy comes with loving one another. When we love each other, there's something we get out of that. Even though we have to give out, there's something that we get supplied every time we give. When we love somebody, when we love another person, we get something out of that. Do you have that experience? It's a great experience. And as we love people, as we love even those that it's hard to love, we feel better about ourselves. There's a certain amount of blessing or joy that comes in. A third reason is because Jesus set his church up on it. Jesus set his church up on this idea of loving one another. Friends, love determines true friendship. When we think about it, if we got a true friend, it's often been developed because love for one another has been expressed to the point we say, that's my friend. They really do care about me. They really do want to serve me. They really do want to help me. That's kind of the kingdom way. 12 and 15 talk about that. This is my commandment that you love one another, Jesus said, just as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This idea of friendship comes out of the love for one another. You want to make a good friend? Love them. Just love the person. They will consider you their friend. You think about the good friends you have? You know for sure that they love you. They really do care about you. You matter to them. Last reason, we might say, to love one another is because Jesus made it known. Jesus' name is known by it. In John 13, 34 and 35, I believe this will be on the screen, it says this, and this is, near the same time frame as Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. It's the same concept, same idea. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So somehow, some way, there's a witness about who Jesus is, that because of the way his body or his church or as the vine, his branch, his branch operates. If the branch is fruitful, people notice that. They like that fruit. There's love there. And it points back to Jesus Christ. There's a connection made there. So Jesus is the bridegroom. We're the bride. And so the bride goes with the bridegroom. And that's an image that is given for the church. We're the body, we point to the head. You know, we operate according to what the head says. And so there's a connection people make. And so as we love on each other, as there's a church of help for one another, care for one another, there's a concern for one another, there's this witness that people understand and see. It's an exciting thing. That's branch life. It's to love. And it's to love like Jesus. To love like Jesus. We want to be a church like that. We want to be a church that's known for our love for God and for our neighbors, everyone else, as well as for one another. Jesus has this kind of specific command that you love one another. There's something about he's trying to say to his disciples that's really going to matter. And he gives us these reasons, and kind of implicit reasons and contained in the text here in the scripture. And so I just would throw that out. That's why we love. But how do we love one another? Okay? Now, I know this is fairly simple when we talk about love. But think about this concept of love. It seems in our world today that everybody loves lots of things. Have you ever said, I love coffee? Oh, I love coffee. And I say it. What do you love that you've used that terminology for? Coffee, too. It's like, I love Taco Bell. Okay, I love your phone. I love the beavers. I love the ducks. You know, it's just I love thing. It's constantly used. And so the term is so overused that it's possible we maybe need to kind of hone in on it and determine, well, what is Jesus saying when he says, I love you? What does that mean to me, right? How am I going to capture this real essence of what he's talking about? Because I want to honor Jesus. We want to honor the Lord in the branch life. We want to honor the Lord. So let's consider that nature of love for just a minute. Jesus tells us specifically in verse 9, this idea of love. He says, just as the Father has, there it is, loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in this love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so he's describing a love that comes from God the Father. Okay, so we're going to go back to origins of love here, right? Love comes from God, it says in 1 John. That's the source of love. The source of love doesn't come out of humanity. It comes from God first. It comes out of his being. It comes out of his nature. That's the source of love. It isn't about just liking ice cream, you know, or liking, you know, coffee. It's coming out of the very nature of God and who he is. It's that kind of love that Jesus commands us to have. It's the same kind of love that Father had for him and he has for us that we're to have for each other. Get the progression? I think it's important to kind of follow back here. That's the kind of love that's here. Now, what is that kind of love? I'll just share. I can't, you know, it's broad and it's great. But let me just share one thing about it. And that is that God's love is always constant. It's a love that is always enduring. It's the kind of love that the Father has for the Son from eternity past. There's always been this connection of love. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. There's this kind of constant, enduring connection in this idea of love. There's no time ever that we could ever find out that there was a diminishing love for the Son. The Father has never had a love that diminished for Jesus. And so that's the kind of love that God's people, as recorded in the old covenant scriptures, you know, have depended upon. They've depended upon that kind of love. Lamentations 3 and verse 22 says this, because of the Lord's, look what it says, great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. And so, you know, here's Psalm 100 and verse 5. Look what it says. For the Lord is good, and look what it says, his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, these are people writing this because they have recognized and understood this incredible kind of love. Eh? They might have had some other terminologies and things that they loved in their day, but they understood the kind of love God had. And it was this enduring kind of love, you know, that wasn't going away. It was fixated on the people he created in his image, and he loves them. He cares about them. It's some kind of thing that comes out of his will. And so Jesus said, I loved you the way my Father has loved me. That comes out of the Message Bible's rendering of this. Jesus is not going to fall out of love with us. His love's always going to be constant. It's going to be enduring love. Love is so deep, so great, that it's willing to die or go all the way for us. That love doesn't fail. That's the kind of love Jesus is talking about here. That's the kind of love. It's an ultimate kind of love. It's the greatest kind of expression of love that we might be able to understand. There was a man who was waxing eloquent to his wife about how much he loved her. It's like some of us guys do with our wives, right? We wax eloquent, how much we love. In fact, this guy went on to say, I would even die for you. And she says, well, that won't be necessary. Kind of unimpressed with his commitment there. He just says, why don't you just pick up that towel and help me with the dishes? Interesting. 1 John 3:16 through 18 says this. Note what it says. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for his brother, for our brothers. And then look what it goes on to say. It doesn't say going out and dying for them necessarily, right? What does it say? If anyone has material possessions and see his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. It's likely going to be that we won't have to give up our lives truly, you know, the death experience for someone else. You know, it's likely that probably won't happen to us. But what can we do that does express that kind of love? It's some of those little things in life. It's some of those things that can really help people. Some of those things that the branch wants to become involved in our community, to serve people, to be outward focused and involved in what's going on in the community, to help families in need, people in need, single parents in need, to reach out to families that are kind of bored with a fun fest and say, here's something that's going on in the community, and it's free. So people that came to us and said, this is free? And they thanked us for just something that we could produce, just kind of get our name out there, get to know people in the community and connect as a way to serve them. Message puts it this way. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. Love holds nothing back. Love is willingly gives to a friend. And that's the kind of love that Jesus wants us to work with. This idea of friendship is really birthed out of this idea of love one another. Good friends, it's just what's happening there. There's a love for one another. That's what's going on with friendships. And so Jesus built his church, I believe, on the practice of friendship. If we don't become friends as a church, if we one to another, that's why we wear those name tags, get to know each other, at least get to know each other by name so we can say each other's name. And what Jesus really wants to happen is that there be close friendships. Close friendships, the material needed for close friendships is love for one another. Love one another, just as I have loved you. So Jesus called his disciples, you are my friends. No longer my slaves, but I'm going to reveal everything to you. We don't have secrets, we're friends. Now, if I was your master and you were just a slave, then yeah, you're not going to know about some things because you won't need to know. I don't consider that you're a different kind of person to me. No, Jesus says, you're my friends. And it's because he loves us, and he wants that kind of engagement that we would have with each other. Friendship, friends, is critical. Friends are God's way of taking care of us, someone once said. Another person said, a real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. But perhaps the best definition was given by a young boy who said, a friend is a person who knows us and still likes us. that's kind of a friend. Proverbs tells us, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. A friend loves at all times, Proverbs 17:17. And a brother is born for adversity. Look at this one. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Back in the 1950s, I was just almost ready to be born, so don't place me there, but there was this story of the Speaker of the House of Representatives at the time who learned one of his friends had lost his teenage daughter. She had passed. Early the next morning, Sam Rayburn, who was the Speaker of the House, knocked on the door of that man who'd lost his daughter. "I just came by to see what I could do to help," he said. And the father of that gal said, "Hey, there's really nothing to do." And Rayburn said, "Well, have you had your morning coffee yet?" He says, "No, we haven't. We haven't had time to take time for breakfast yet." So Rayburn went in to work in the kitchen to prepare breakfast. And while he was working on that breakfast, his friend came in and said, "Mr. Speaker, I thought you were supposed to be having breakfast at the White House this morning." He says, "Well, I was. But I called the president and told him that I had a friend who was in trouble and I couldn't come." Perhaps that's what the Bible means by friendship. To have someone who regards you so highly that they want to be there when you need them. I believe Jesus built his church on that kind of concept of friendship, of being there for one another. The Bible talks about this over and over again, this one another theology. It's really practice. We should encourage one another and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Romans 12:10 says, we should be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Galatians says we should serve one another in love to the point that we carry out each other's burdens. And in this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 5:13 and 6:2. That's love. But if you're like me, there's a problem with trying to practice loving one another. Life gets in the way. Does it happen to you? Life gets in the way, and we get distracted by our own personal agendas and schedules, and we can become inconsiderate. It happens to me sometimes, and I become selfish. And I'm interested in my thing, my time. There are times we can even get our feelings hurt by somebody, and so we're going to have a hard time loving that person if that happens. Those shortcomings are ours to share in. We have them. We struggle with them. We're not God. We're not Jesus in that perfect way of loving each other. And so, what do? Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." He put himself out there as a model. He says, "Follow my example. Learn of me." This is one of our mission, to know Jesus, to know him. And one of the greatest ways we can understand who Jesus really is to see his love in action for his disciples, his love in action for the world. Everything about his life was aimed at, how can I love this person and develop friendship, relationship with them? And so, friends, I would just suggest our goal is to know Jesus as well as to make him known. The more we know him, perhaps the more effective we can make him known in ways that people can grasp better of in him. So, a memory verse, John 15:12. "Love each other as I have loved you. This is my commandment, love each other as I have loved you." Might be something that I would encourage you to consider doing next week, for next week. Branch love loves like Jesus. I was raised in a church where everything was fairly mechanical for me. And we're going to go into communion right now and share in the bread and the juice, which reminds us of what Jesus did on the cross. And so John's going to come up and he's going to be able to produce a song here that as we would have communion, and the communion will be at these tables. You could just step out and get that communion when you'd like to. But one of the things I didn't have down very well is the love of God for me. I didn't understand this idea of the love of the true nature of God for my life. And so when I became thirsty and hungry for the Bible, and I learned about Jesus, and I gained a new knowledge, a fresh knowledge of him, and different aspects of the nature of God and of Jesus Christ for the world, it blew my mind. It, you know, like someone would say, rocked my world. I mean, it turned my life upside down, this idea of love, and I became just consumed with, really? God loves me? I knew what I was like. Are you kidding me? He really cares that much that he would even die for me? Wow. That was something that was radical to me. And it was on my mind constantly and constantly and constantly. And so the cross, think about it, friends, is perhaps the greatest symbol of friendship that the world's ever had. The cross of Jesus Christ. Because he died for us. Isn't that what Jesus said here? No greater love does one have than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus has laid down his life for each one of us. Consider that today as we take communion, as we listen to this song, perhaps participate in the worship music of the song. Consider that love of Jesus for you and what you're supposed to do with that. Okay? Let's take communion.
Sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore.